but that's the old me. Shouting out on my window, broke down, 'cause I don't care anymore. Said I don't care.
Let's go. News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. Hope you are having a great Saturday. It's Oscar weekend. We've got a lot to talk about. We're going to bring you up to date on everything that's going on with tomorrow's Oscar broadcast and much more as we talk with, as we do so very often on the show, our good friend from the Pop Culture Knowledge Channel on YouTube, Jeremy Branch.
Woo! Oscars, Academy Awards, let's go!
You've got Oscar fever.
I do. I've caught it, and there's only one cure. And it's more cowbell.
More cowbell? Okay.
I guess. I don't know, man. I'm so mixed on award shows, and I'm sure it'll come up inevitably in the conversation. But I've got this kind of love-hate relationship with them because, really, the Academy Awards, they're kind of an insular thing, right? Like, the Academy is made up of people who work within this industry, and it's always been very geared towards this kind of self-congratulatory celebration where they essentially become the tastemakers to the masses. And, I mean, if anybody knows a good movie, perhaps it should be these people. But what happens is, like, these lists come out. Nobody's seen them because they're such small, most of the time limited releases. And so then you have this homework list. You got to go and tick off the boxes and watch all these movies. And this year has been a fantastic year for movies, so no shade to any of the films that we're going to discuss, because the majority of the ones I've seen I enjoyed very much. But it seems like now there's this kind of push and pull between, is the Academy Awards for the Academy, or is it for the masses? Is it for general audiences? And should we throw Marvel movies in there to pander to people, just to kind of get them to tune in or pretend like we would consider these for Best Picture nominations? And I just don't know. Maybe I'm on one today, but I always feel like the Oscars are like having an identity crisis that we've been witnessing for the last couple years. So I'm really curious to see how things turn out this year, especially in the wake of, like, you know, movies like Barbie, where there's been such a vocal outcry as far as that stuff goes. So we'll get into it, I guess.
Well, and in fairness, you know, Barbie is up for Best Picture, you know.
Yeah,
the number one movie of the year last year was Barbie, and it is up for Best Picture.
But is it because it's the Best Picture, or is it because it was the number one movie of the year?
I think that it was a very critically acclaimed film, and the fact that it's up for other awards, even if it maybe isn't up for all of the awards that some of its fans might have wanted it to be up for.
It needs to be up for every award.
Yeah,
no, I'm kidding.
Well, you know, I'm sorry that it wasn't up for Best Documentary Short, but you know, but given that it was neither a documentary nor a short, that, you know, it's not up for best international film either. You know, there's,
I bet if it was by a man, it would have been up for best documentary short.
Maybe anything's possible. but you know, you mentioned Marvel movies. It's not like Marvel movies haven't been up for Best Picture. Both Black Panther and Wakanda Forever were nominated for Best Picture.
They were nominated, but yeah, they were never gonna win.
I think Wakanda Forever was never going to win. I think the first Black Panther had an outside shot at it, in fairness.
Sure.
I don't think that you can necessarily argue that commercial films don't ever win, because lots of commercial films have won. And I think that we're probably going to see one win this year, but we'll talk about that a little later, because we'll play like we're the Oscars ourselves, and we'll save the Best Picture discussion for the end of the the end of the show today. Because
can we give our predictions as well throughout?
Yeah, absolutely. I would be awesome. Disappointed in us if we didn't.
All right, excellent.
Yeah. So above and beyond that, addressing what you were saying, yes, this is an award from peers. Yeah, from your peer groups. You know, if people don't know this about the nominating process, when you're going into the nominations on these things, the nominations are decided by the people that work in those categories. So directors nominate directors, actors nominate actors, hairstylists and makeup artists nominate hairstylists and makeup artists, etc. So you get into these categories by earning the respect of your peers that also work in that same line of work as you.
Right.
So there's something to that. You know, there's something to nobody knows what it takes to do this more than the people that do it.
Yeah, absolutely. Agreed.
Nobody can identify excellence more than the people that identify that, you know, that strive for the excellence themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And then the final awards are voted on by the entire body of the Academy. Everything is a straight, most votes wins, except for Best Picture, which has a ranked voting system.
And you've explained this to me before, but it's interesting. So tell the folks at home.
So on Best Picture, the way it works is, in order to be named Best Picture, you have to have 50% of the vote plus one. So if they go through 10 Best Picture nominees and no one movie has more than 50% of the votes, they say, okay, we're eliminating all votes for the project that came in last place. And now we're going to go through and everything that had a second place, every other film that had a second place vote, we're going to count those votes. And we're going to add those to the tally. So you could feasibly end up with a winning project being a film that got more second place votes or even third place or however many it goes down than it did first place votes. And I think that's where you see in the last couple of years, and there's, you know, we don't know the voting, so this is just speculation on my part and anybody else's part that says so. But there's a couple of times where some projects have won that seemed a little more safe or maybe even a little behind the times that I think maybe were a lot of people's second place votes that were kind of inoffensive, you know, high quality, don't get me wrong, but kind of not polarizing films.
Heard Green Book.
Yeah. Green Book is exactly the one I'm thinking of here. You know, not necessarily a polarizing film, a film that a lot of people might like and might warm a lot of hearts, but didn't have any controversy behind it. Didn't have that kind of challenging subject matter that, say, a film like, just to pull one out of a hat, Moonlight might have had. And Moonlight did win under the same system. So it is possible for a challenging film to win under these circumstances. But yeah, so Best Picture operates under a little bit different rules than everything else over the course.
Why and do also the has most complicated thing? I just don't get it. I know that's another hyperbolic question, but like, why not just give the second place vote the win? It makes no sense to me.
Well, because they're not really giving the second place vote the win. What they're doing is trying to come up with something that's more of a consensus film. So when you're getting to the point where this film ends up with more than 50% of the voting, that means that more than half the body of the Academy thought that that film was deserving. Versus you're talking about 10 films, feasibly you could have a Best Picture winner that got, you know, 11% of the vote.
Yeah, I get what you mean. I get what you mean. I just don't like if there's 100 votes and one of them gets 50 and another gets 50, or two of them get 33 each, and then the other one gets 32. I know my math's off there, but why not just give it? Oh, never mind. I see how that's problematic, too, because if they're split.
And it is possible to have ties in the other categories, and historically there have been some ties in the Academy Awards. You're not going to end up with a tie for Best Picture in this system, but you know, theoretically you could have in any other category, you could have two films get the exact same amount of votes and tie for the award. I think the most famous example of that was, and I'm sorry, but I don't recall who the other person that won was, but when Barbara Streisand won for Funny Girl as Best Actress, that was a tie vote. And it was a little bit controversial because just prior to the votes being taken, Barbara Streisand had been admitted to the Academy. So assuming she voted for herself, technically Barbara Streisand got herself an Oscar with that one vote.
Interesting.
Yeah. We've got to take a break. We'll be back with more in just a moment. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. We've got Jeremy Branch with us on the line from the Pop Culture Nihilist channel on YouTube. And the Oscars, as we mentioned, are coming up tomorrow. Looking forward to that broadcast on ABC. Before we get into the nominations, Jeremy, just a quick word. I think you got to see the host of the Oscars in person last year, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. So we were in L.A. About midway through 2023, and one of the things that we were really looking forward to was going and checking out a taping of Jimmy Kimmel Live. I'm a really big fan of Jimmy Kimmel, and as long as I've been watching the Oscars, I feel like he's a really good host. You know, Ricky Gervais at the Golden Globes, certainly entertaining. I think I got a big kick out of his, you know, taking everybody to task almost in a way, almost scolding the Academy, which are, you know, the industry, which was an interesting take. But I think Jimmy Kimmel is really good at, like, walking the line between being endearing to the guests in attendance as well as, like, kind of playing to the broader audience. He jokes, but he never really comes off as mean-spirited. And I feel like sometimes Ricky Gervais did. And while I can see how that's, you know, entertaining to the audience, it's probably not a good feeling to be, you know, trying to be recognized for your work and, like, getting shamed. So I think Jimmy Kimmel is a good choice. And I think he's charming, man. I feel like his jokes are successful, and I look forward to seeing him again because I feel like he's, like, the best guy for the job.
I tend to agree with you. I think that he's the best host that we've had since the days when Billy Crystal used to do it pretty regularly. You know, he's a guy that he's not in contention. You know, he's not an actor, really. I think he may have done a little acting here and there, but generally he's not an actor. He knows how to entertain, but he also knows how to share the spotlight. Does not make the show all about himself. He knows the show's not about him. He's there to be the center of attention when he needs to be, and when he's not, he's there to get out of the way. He can really, and I think the place where he really showed his skill at this is when we had the incident a few years ago when the wrong name was read for Best Picture.
Yeah, I remember that vaguely. How did he deal with it?
He just jumped in and dealt directly with it. Nice. And, you know, also made a point of the next year bringing those same presenters back to give out Best Picture again and giving them a chance to, you know, have fun with that moment. It was Warren
cool.
Beatty and Faye Dunaway, if I recall correctly. So, yeah, I mean, I think he's good. I think, you know, we've talked in the past about how I'm not the biggest fan of when he does the man on the street stuff. I think there's a place for that on late night TV, but I don't think there's a place for that on the Oscars broadcast.
Sure.
But other than that, I think he's, you know, he's been the best host in recent memory. So I'm all for them keeping it with him for years to come as long as he wants to do it.
Yeah, agreed.
I think he's done a great job. I think he'll continue to do a great job. Not that there maybe aren't other people that could also probably do a great job, but
sure.
But I think that he's the right guy. And I think as long as the Oscars are at ABC, which they are under contract for, I think, a couple more years at least, we're going to see them continuing to go back to him, and it'll be up to him whether he wants to do it or not. So, but let's move on. Let's get into some of the nominations. So I thought we would hit kind of the major categories, kind of the, you know, top six or so major categories. Maybe we'll help you, you know, if you're playing in an Oscar pool or anything like that, or you're going to an Oscar party, maybe we'll help you with your predictions if you take our advice. Or maybe we could be totally wrong and go completely off the rails.
That's never happened.
That is entirely possible too. But just kind of, you know, to hit some of the highlights and make some predictions. I wanted to start with Best Animated Feature Film. And I really think this is probably a two-horse race, but the nominated films are The Boy and the Heron, Elemental, Nimona, Robot Dreams, and Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
Okay, you say two-person race or two-movie race. What are you thinking?
I'm thinking that it is between The Boy and the Heron and Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
Couldn't agree more, Julio. And just going off of my gut, and these are two that I've actually seen. I saw these and I saw Elemental. Can't speak to the other ones. Did you see the other ones?
I have not. I know Nimona got a lot of praise and won kind of like the Annies or the industry, where every one of these groups of awards, there's some industry group that has its own award that does, you know, several specialized awards within that category. For animation, it's the Annie Awards. And they give out like a best mainstream feature and a best indie feature award. And Nimona, if I recall correctly, won the indie award. So
just going off my gut and understanding that we've both only seen a couple of them, I would prefer Across the Spider-Verse to win. I thought it was a blast at the movie theater. My gut says The Boy and the Heron is going to win.
Well, Across the Spider-Verse did win at the Annies. So that could be an indication. Again, keeping in mind that the full body of voters will vote on this, that's also going to play in Across the Spider-Verse's hands because more people saw that than saw The Boy and the Heron.
Yeah.
So my prediction is Across the Spider-Verse. Of these, it would also be my personal choice.
Yeah, I would love to see it.
I was kind of nonplussed by The Boy and the Heron.
Beautifully animated, interesting story, boring as hell.
That's kind of where I come out on it too. You know, I have great respect for Miyazaki, brilliant filmmaker. Just don't think this was his finest effort.
No, agreed.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with that. Perfectly okay. We're going to move on to Best Actor in a Supporting Role.
This is a stacked one, if I'm not mistaken.
This is a pretty stacked category, and I think this may be the only one of the acting categories where I've actually seen all the films nominated.
So, all right, hit me.
We've got Sterling K. Brown in American Fiction, Robert De Niro for Killers of the Flower Moon, Robert Downey Jr. for Oppenheimer, Ryan Gosling for Barbie, and Mark Ruffalo for Poor Things. So I have seen all of these films, all great films, I would venture to say. I mean, every single award show, whether it be Critics' Choice, whether it be the SAGs, whether it has been BAFTA, Golden Globes, everyone you can name, Robert Downey Jr. has taken this one home. And I don't see anything that's stopping him from taking the Oscar home here either. I think he's the lock.
So I have not seen American Fiction. I've been meaning to get to it.
Gotta see that movie, man. It's fantastic. Fantastic film.
Yeah. Really looking forward to it. Short of that, I have seen all of the other ones. And I do also think that any of these performances is absolutely a case could be made. If I were picking my favorite, it would probably be Robert Downey Jr. And if I guess who was going to win, I think it's Robert Downey Jr. I agree with you.
I think Downey's a lock on this, and I do think it's probably the best performance of the bunch. I am a big fan of Mark Ruffalo in Poor Things. I also think Willem Dafoe could have been easily nominated for Poor Things. I think Sterling K. Brown is fantastic in American Fiction. I there's no bad choice here. All five of these guys are fantastic. But I think Downey, to the extent that it took me a little while into the movie to realize that that's who I was watching.
Right.
And it was very easy to forget who I was watching.
Yeah, agreed.
It's just such a strong performance, and I think Downey's the guy. I don't think there's any argument on that one. Moving on to Best Supporting Actress, your nominees there are going to be Emily Blunt for Oppenheimer, Danielle Brooks for The Color Purple, America Ferrera for Barbie. Yes, there is a woman nominated for acting in Barbie. Jodie Foster for Naiad, and Divine Joy Randolph for The Holdovers. This is another one where it feels like the same person has been winning the award everywhere you go.
Can I guess who you're going to say?
That being Divine Joy Randolph for The Holdovers. Yeah.
Yeah.
That being said, and with the disclosure that I have not seen The Color Purple and I have not seen Naiad, I just didn't think it was a very good performance, but it's kind of a small performance, and Like, I'd almost give this to America Ferrera for Barbie. And not just to quiet down the criticism of Barbie not getting some of the nominations that some people felt like it deserved. Like, that speech that she gives in Barbie that everybody keeps going back to, if that's not an Oscar moment, I don't know what is.
Yeah, I think she would be a lock for this if she were a man. She's kind of been the industry. What are you going to do? I'm just being dumb, listeners, by the way. Totally jokes. I'm here to just keep it light, baby. I agree with you. What's the name of the actress's name from The Holdovers?
Divine Joy Randolph.
Divine Joy Randolph.
She's going to win. She's going to win.
Yeah. And I kind of agree with you that it's not, you and I even joked on a previous episode that y'all can go back and listen to, that the moment that they're going to show in her, you know, sizzle reel as she's being nominated is the scene from the kitchen at the party in The Holdovers. If you've seen the movie, you're definitely aware of the moment that we were discussing, because it's that kind of performance. It's that kind of moment where, you know, you take note as an actress, and, you know, and I think she did really good in it. I feel like that is a good performance, and I haven't seen Nyad or The Color Purple either. If I were going to, if I were going to pick who I think of the ones I've seen that deserve it, it would be her.
All right. Well, there you go. We got to take a break. We'll be back with more in just a moment. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
A fringle, slacking ties and I, not to look at you in the shoe, but the eyes, find the eyes, find me and follow me through corridors, refectories, and files you must follow, leave this academic factory. The dark of the matinee, it's better in the matinee. The dark of the matinee is mine, yes, it's mine.
News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. We've got Jeremy Branch with us from the Pop Culture Knowledge Channel on YouTube. Dude, I didn't need this stuck in my face when I played that song. That song is 20 years old. The Dark of the Matinee by Franz Ferdinand. I cannot believe that first Franz Ferdinand album is 20 years old this year.
No, that's a reality check I didn't need either.
Yeah.
Thank you.
That's crazy stuff right there. But yeah, great song. A great song about the movies. And we're talking about the movies because the Oscars are coming up tomorrow. And we've been going through the nominations and giving you kind of some of our predictions, as well as some of our thoughts on maybe who maybe deserves to win this award a little bit more than the others. We're going to move on to Best Actor in a Leading Role. Nominees for that category are as follows: Bradley Cooper in Maestro, Colman Domingo in Rustin, Paul Giamatti in The Holdovers, Cillian Murphy for Oppenheimer, and Jeffrey Wright in American Fiction. So hit me, Jeremy. What are your thoughts here?
A category that I haven't seen many of the nominations in. I didn't see Maestro. I didn't see another one. I don't even remember what they were now.
Rustin and American Fiction.
I did not see Rustin. I did not see American Fiction. So I'm kind of shooting from the hip here. The performances that I've seen are all really, really good. I wish I'd seen American Fiction. A part of me wants to give it to Jeffrey Wright just because I am a huge fan of his, and I hear he does really good work in it. But it would almost be disingenuous to say that from what I'm feeling, from what I'm hearing, I think Cillian Murphy both deserves it and will win for Best Actor.
Yeah, I think there was a little buzz in there for a little while for Giamatti to possibly take this for The Holdovers, but I think that buzz has been drowned out over the past few weeks, because Cillian Murphy has just been just racking him up left and right. He got the BAFTA. He got the SAG. Remember that the actors are the biggest branch of the Academy. I think Cillian Murphy's got this locked up. Don't get me wrong. Giamatti's great. And Jeffrey Wright is fantastic in American Fiction. And I would not at all be upset to see him win this. But I think this is Cillian Murphy's year, and I think deservedly so. I think it's an outstanding performance in Oppenheimer. I think it drives the entire film. I think it's very well earned from an actor who hasn't always gotten all the praise that he deserves.
And you know, one thing that I just love about Paul Giamatti, and I almost feel like we should give him some sort of award just for this, after one of those award shows, there's just a picture of him chilling at In-N-Out eating a burger, and it is just the most relatable and endearing thing I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And the other thing we got to look at here, too, is that this is somebody who has been significantly under-recognized.
Absolutely.
I mean, this is one of the best actors of his generation, and this is only his second nomination.
And I definitely agree that Cillian Murphy is, you know, underappreciated actor. But as far as just body of work and longevity, Paul Giamatti is one of those actors that's always hovering around the top of just the best working.
Well, but that being said, I believe this might be Cillian Murphy's first nomination.
Right.
And
yes.
Again, you know, a great body of work over the years, and the fact that he's never been recognized is saying something too. I think
he's
Giamatti's going to have
Peaky Blinders.
Yeah, I think Giamatti's going to have some additional chances, and I certainly hope so, because he certainly deserves it. But
yeah.
I think this is Cillian Murphy's year, and I think that he's more than earned it. I think that it is. I think it is the best performance of the year, period. And I say that as somebody that liked American Fiction almost as much as, maybe just as much as he liked Oppenheimer.
Oh, wow.
American Fiction is a fantastic film, and I really hope people see it. It is like my three best films of the year are all nominated for Best Picture. So
that's pretty cool.
Let's put it that way. We'll move on to Best Actress in a Leading Role. And I think this is the one where we have the sharpest competition going on here. And I really think, again, it's a two-person race, but I feel like it's a two-person race that could go either way.
Okay.
Nominees in this category are Annette Bening for Naiad, Lily Gladstone for Killers of the Flower Moon, Sandra Hüller for Anatomy of a Fall, Carrie Mulligan for Maestro, and Emma Stone for Poor Things.
Wait a minute. Barbie is not nominated for Best Female Performance in a Movie?
No. Margot Robbie is not nominated for Best Actress in a Leading Role, and you know that. And the whole world knows that, because people scream their heads off for about 48 hours about it. And then everybody just calmed the hell down. Yeah,
I forgot about that.
And don't get me wrong, it is a great performance. Should Margot Robbie be in this category? Probably. I have not seen all of the films in this category, so I can't say, oh well, she should be in there instead of.
Right.
But you know, was it an Oscar worthy performance? I think it was. I think she was fantastic in the film. That being said, she is nominated for an Oscar for Barbie. Let's not overlook that. She is a producer on the film, so when we talk about Best Picture, that is a nomination for Margot Robbie. She does have a chance to win an Oscar for Barbie, just not as the leading actress.
All right, well, I've sidetracked you good enough. You hit me with your thoughts on this category.
So, you know, the honor is just being nominated for Annette Bening and for Sandra Hüller and Carey Mulligan, I think. I do think there's still an outside chance of the two that I think are the real contenders for this award splitting the vote and it going to someone else because of that. But I think that this really comes, and if that's going to happen, where it's going to go is going to be to Annette Bening, who is one of these people who has been nominated a million times. The woman lost to Hillary Swank twice.
Is that right?
Yeah, both of the times that she maybe had her best shot at winning Best Actress, she had the misfortune of being nominated against Hillary Swank the two times she won. So, you know, there is certainly going to be a feeling amongst some of the older voters that Annette Bening is overdue.
Yeah.
In the way that you sometimes see these veteran actors win for movies that maybe weren't the strongest movie they were ever in.
Paul Giamatti, we'll see.
Maybe, but I mean, Paul Newman is a great example of that.
Having
one for The Color of Money, which is nobody's going to put at the top of his filmography, but and ironically, directed by Martin Scorsese, one of the few acting awards that Scorsese has directed an actor too. And we're talking about another actor here, Lily Gladstone, who was in a Scorsese film this year.
Yeah.
There's a lot of cause celeb around Lily Gladstone for her performance, being the first Indigenous American woman, I should say, because there have been other Indigenous women nominated, but not Indigenous to the United States of America.
Sure.
That have been up for awards before. But she has the possibility of being the first winner in this category, and there's a lot of celebration about that, deservedly so. It's a fantastic role, and she does a fantastic job in it. I am a fan of hers. I've been a fan of hers on Reservation Dogs, which is a show we both very much enjoyed.
Mm-hmm.
But man, Emma Stone is so good in Poor Things.
Yeah, that's the problem, isn't
such
it?
Such a fantastic performance. Such a broad range of performances. It's funny, it's dramatic, it's emotional, and they've both been kind of trading off on who wins these awards at the various peer awards. Now, Lily Gladstone did win the SAG, did not get nominated for the BAFTA, which Emma Stone won. They both won at the Golden Globes, one for comedy, one for drama. Poor Things is very broadly a comedy. I think that's fair to say. I could see this one going either way. For the history of it, I would really love to see Lily Gladstone win it, but if I'm in my heart of hearts on who I thought gave the best performance here, I think it's Emma Stone.
Okay. Your pick is Emma Stone.
My pick to win it is Lily Gladstone.
Okay.
Because I think there's just enough political goodwill there and enough wanting to make history kind of vibes there. And the fact that she won the SAG, I think Lily Gladstone's going to win it. But if I was going to say who I thought truly most deserved it, I think I'd give it to Emma Stone.
So this is something that you and I have discussed before, and it's human nature and how that comes into voting, in any voting body, I would venture to say. But sometimes people are motivated strictly based on the merit. Sometimes people are voted on because it's a fantastic story. And to say Lily Gladstone would only be winning because it is a good story would be disingenuous. I mean, she's fantastic. She's so very good. She would not have been nominated if her performance were not worthy of winning an Academy Award. I see her as the winner. That's going to be my pick for who wins it. And I got to agree with you, man. If I was picking from this category based on my preference and the movies that I've seen, and who I do think had a bit of it's a ballsier performance. And I just say that because there are so many risks taken in the movie, Poor Things. It's just a wild story. Emma Stone inhabits this role in a way that is just really endearing and strange and something that we've really never seen. I can't think of anything else like it. So yeah, I agree with you on both counts. Lily Gladstone is likely the winner, and I would pick Emma Stone as my preferred choice.
Well, we've got to take a break. We'll be back with more in just a moment. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
Which depends on the people instead of the technique to tell the story.
This is what was the problem for me. I felt that I could have handled it in a more straightforward manner.
If anything should happen to me, say these words: Klaatu, Barada, Nikto.
News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620. Welcome back to Let's Go Pensacola. I am your host, Julio Diaz. We've got Jeremy Ranch with us on the line from the Pop Culture Nihilist channel on YouTube. Shout out to a great one who ain't with us anymore, my buddy Jim Pettigo from MAGADOG, singing the lead vocal on that song, Movie Buff. We are movie buffs here on this show, and we are talking about the Academy Awards, which are coming up on Sunday. And just getting through the last big categories before we round out the show. So, Jeremy, we are up to Best Director. Now, this is always an interesting category because I think along with Best Film Editing, those two kind of tend to be maybe not predictors of best picture, but they tend to be predictors of what the serious contenders for Best Picture are. Like, you get 10 nominees. Sure. Usually the ones that are up for editing and or direction are the ones that tend to be the ones that are the real heroes here, for lack of a better term. And we interestingly have a lot of overlap in those categories real quick. So we're not going to, I'm just going to mention the nominees for editing real quick are Anatomy of a Fall, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. Four of those five are also nominated for the Best Director Award. So Best Director nominees are Justine Triet for Anatomy of a Fall, Martin Scorsese for Killers of the Flower Moon, Christopher Nolan for Oppenheimer, Yorgos Lanthimos for Poor Things, and Jonathan Glazer for The Zone of Interest. So The Zone of Interest sneaking in there with the best director nomination, locking out Alexander Payne for The Holdovers, that was nominated for editing, which Zone of Interest was not. Now, here's the other big controversy. Of course, the other director that got locked out here that a lot of people thought deserved to be in this category was Greta Gerwig for Barbie. She is nominated for Best Adapted Screenplay for the movie, so she does have a chance to win an Oscar for Barbie, just not as director. So that being said, Jeremy, throw some heat across the plate here.
All right.
Give me your hot take.
There's something about Anatomy of a Fall. There's something about it. And when I say there's something about it, I don't know what it is because I haven't seen the movie, but I got this strange inkling that there's just something about Anatomy of a Fall just potentially sliding in there and shocking everybody. I mean, I think that Zone of Interest and Anatomy of the Fall feel so much like Oscar, I don't want to say Oscar bait, but kind of I want to say Oscar bait. They feel like the kind of movies that the Academy really gravitates towards. I see either of them being a big upset. I think the traditional wisdom or conventional wisdom would say that Oppenheimer wins it, but I'm gonna go wild on this one. I'm gonna say my pick is Oppenheimer, and I'm gonna say Anatomy of a Fall is gonna win for Best Director.
See, I think this is Oppenheimer's year. I think it's Christopher Nolan's time finally. Again, another talent who's way overdue for the recognition. I just think that this night's going to be a kind of a coronation, and he's won.
That's how it goes a lot of times. So I can see why you would say that.
He's won every award leading up to it. He won the DGA. He won the BAFTA. You name it. He's won every single one. I think it's his year, and I think it's overdue. And I think this is also a movie that I mentioned this earlier in the show. One of the top movies of the year, money-wise. More people have seen this movie than just about any other movie that's nominated, definitely any other movie that's nominated for Best Director, and possibly than any other movie that's nominated for Best Picture, other than one that we'll talk about in a minute. So, he's got the breadth of the audience. It's definitely a high-caliber film that everybody really loved. There's not anybody out there saying this movie wasn't good.
No.
I think it's Nolan's to lose. I just don't see anybody else winning, and I think he probably earns it. Although, again, I've got a soft spot for Yorgos Lanthimos for Poor Things, which I think is equally as good a movie as Oppenheimer. I think American Fiction is equally as good a movie as well, but it was not nominated for Best Director. That director, Cord Jefferson, did get a screenplay nomination, And I expect to see good things from him in the future. This was just his first film. So
Yorgos Lanthimos is just, he's brilliant. He is, I would say, I don't want to be hyperbolic, but there's some definite, like, Kubrick mad genius in what Yorgos Lanthimos does. And he, even if he doesn't win for Best Director this year, I think when you watch Poor Things, there's just no disputing that this guy is just a brilliant filmmaker.
Yeah, I mean, it's a visionary piece of art. And it's and it's funny.
It's hilarious.
Like, I mean, for this movie to be like, it's truly a visionary piece of art. The performances in it are amazing. But it's funny, too. And I can say the same thing about American Fiction. American Fiction is basically a straightforward comedy. Like, Poor Things, it's like kind of a black comedy.
Yeah.
American Fiction is a straight-up comedy.
Well, it's a black comedy, just in a different sense of the term, I believe.
Okay, you went there.
I don't think anybody would deny that.
All right. Well, moving on to Best Picture, the nominees in that category are as follows. American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, Barbie, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Past Lives, Poor Things, and Zone of Interest. So again, I think other than Past Lives, we've said all of these titles previously in the course of the discussion today. Past Lives has not racked up the amount of nominations that some of these other films had. Although again, a film that got a lot of praise, and there was a lot of potential for another female director, Celine Song, to get in the Best Director race for this. Didn't quite make the cut, but a highly praised film that I know a lot of people really loved. You know, you have the two of the biggest films of the year in this category, Barbie and Oppenheimer, in terms of the biggest audience reaction. For me, on a personal level, I think I've kind of made this clear already, but my three favorite films of the year, American Fiction, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. Like, I mean, like, they're like 1A, 1B, 1C. Like, they're tied for number one for me. I would be thrilled to see any one of those films win the Best Picture Award. That being said, it's Oppenheimer's world. We just live in it.
So, I even in the Best Director category, I tend to... Logistically, I align with you. I feel like it really is Oppenheimer's the one to beat. I think an argument can be made that it is actually the best objectively in any of these, but just to keep it spicy, I would not be surprised if Anatomy of a Fall ends up winning Best Picture. Just let me throw that out there as kind of like a side thing. Hey, maybe this will happen. Wouldn't it be wild? I agree on both counts that Oppenheimer both deserves it and will win Best Picture for 2020. It's the 86th Academy Awards, is that right?
That sounds correct.
So
96th.
96th. Wow. So yeah. I feel like this is the one.
Let's just look at the other possibilities here in terms of recognizing some of these other films, because you kind of have to look at, you think Anatomy of a Fall maybe Best International Feature Film, but it's actually not nominated for Best International Feature Film.
Interesting. Yeah.
Zone of Interest is, and I think that's where Zone of Interest is going to get its nomination, or is going to get its win, is going to be in that category. Now, Anatomy of a Fall, however, is up for Best Original Screenplay, and the competition there isn't maybe as strong as some of the other, as adapted screenplay. Your other nominees in the category are The Holdovers, Maestro, May December, and Past Lives. So a couple other Best Picture nominees in that category, but I kind of feel like maybe they're going to give original screenplay to Anatomy for a Fall.
That's a good call. I can see how that tracks as well. That makes sense.
Now, Zone of Interest is also up for adapted screenplay, but it's got some higher caliber competition there with American Fiction, Barbie, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. So that's one I could kind of see going to any one of those films. But I think Best Picture, I think, is going to pretty much be a lock for Oppenheimer. I hope Barbie wins something. And I think it will probably win Best Original Song and maybe a couple of other things. I could see it winning Best Production Design, certainly. I think it's got a strong possibility of that, although I think the production design in Poor Things is also very, very, very strong.
Yeah.
You know, I think it's got a couple other possibilities in there in some of the technical categories. I don't want to hear about it, you know, if it doesn't win anything. And we're going to hear about it.
It's an honor to be nominated. Let's just say that. I know it sounds like a consolation prize, but we're being real here. This is top 10 greatest in any given category, top 5 in any given category. It's quite an honor to even be put in that category as one of the best films of the year.
Absolutely. So we will check our report card next week when we return. Hope you enjoyed the Oscars and hope you enjoyed listening to the show. Till then, we'll see you next week. You're listening to Let's Go Pensacola on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.